Welcome to the AgeTurners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta exposes more sins in our speaking and exhorts us again to deal with the Lord in this matter so that our spirit may be released.
Today, I'd like to continue our fellowship on the matter of exercising our spirit by exercising the functions of our spirit and primarily our conscience. We've been covering this matter of the exercise of our spirit in our daily life, and we've been seeing that words, our speaking, our speech, play a great role in our daily life. Therefore, we need to be learning how to exercise our spirit in this area of our words. In his book, Messages for Building Up New Believers, as part of the collected works of Watchman Nee, Brother Nee has a chapter on words. That's the title of the chapter, chapter 36. This chapter begins this way: speaking occupies a great part of a person's life. It is, in fact, a very crucial part of his life. The Lord Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A person's words express his heart. They reveal the things in his heart. It is not easy to know a man through his conduct, but it is very easy to know a man through his words. Later on in that same paragraph, Brother Nee writes, "After we believe in the Lord, we must undergo a fundamental training in the way we live and speak. Our past ways and walk must be completely laid aside. From the day we believe, we have to start everything new, even the way we speak. We must take care of and pay attention to the way we speak." Over the last few weeks, we've been fellowshipping with you some portions from the Word, the Scripture, that talk about various categories of speech, such as lies or jokes or cursing and gossip, as well as being double-tongued, or what we would commonly call being two-faced. Today, we'd like to see a few more portions of the Word. Actually, brothers and sisters, the Scriptures have a lot to say concerning the matter of our words. And as we've mentioned before, it could be that we've been living our daily life without much consciousness that certain kinds of speaking actually offend our spirit. Certain kinds of speaking are sin, and we had no consciousness that those things were sin. Then we try to come to the Lord. We exercise to call on the Lord, to pray read, to come to the church meeting, and it seems like we're doing everything that we should do, but the result is not much genuine enjoyment of the Lord. We don't have the flow of the Lord in our spirit as we were accustomed to, as we have tasted in the past. And through this fellowship, we hope that we're helping you see that we need to confess our sins in detail, specifically. And in order to have the consciousness that these things are sin, we need to know God's word. We need to know what is the Lord's feeling concerning these various kinds of speaking. Last time, we talked about the matter of gossip. Gossip is a sin, and it's possible we have had this sin of gossiping of others on our conscience without much consciousness, and this may be hindering our fellowship with the Lord. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear." Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. These verses show that by our words, by corrupt words coming out of our mouth, words that don't build up others, but rather tear down others, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's very possible that by our gossiping, as well as our criticism, we have been tearing down people and grieving the Spirit. No wonder when we call on the Lord or we pray read or we sing in the meeting that there's not much enjoyment of the Lord. Criticism is a big part of our common talk. It's very common to be in some situation at school or at work and just criticism and gossiping take place in a very kind of common way. Brothers and sisters, we should have a strong spirit. We should have a sensitive spirit that when these kinds of words are even about to come out of us, there's a sense within us, no, I want to preserve the flow of life in my spirit. So I will not partake of, I will not even listen to criticisms of others. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need our spirit strengthened in our daily life. Just consider, brothers and sisters, what percentage of our common speaking, when we're with our friends, even possibly when we're with other brothers and sisters, how much of that time together is spent in criticism of others, in gossiping of others? We don't have the realization. We have an accumulation of sin on our conscience that affects our spirit, that grieves the Holy Spirit. No wonder then, when we come to try to enjoy the Lord, there's not much flow. We need to repent. We need to confess specifically these sins in order to restore the flow of life. I really recommend to you all to read Brother Nee's chapter on this matter of words in the collected works of Watchman Nee. This is, again, Messages for Building Up New Believers, Lesson 36. In this chapter, another thing that he talks about, or another category of words, are words in which we add our own thoughts. That is, putting in our thought or opinion. I'll read a little bit from the chapter. Why is it that many words are altered when they pass from one mouth to another? A statement often is changed completely after passing through three or four mouths. Why? This is because each person adds his own thoughts instead of finding out the facts. No one tries to find out the facts, yet everyone tries to add his own thoughts. This is lying. You know, we have a common game that we may have played when we were a child called telephone, where you whisper something to one person in a big circle, and then they whisper to another, and all the way around the circle, and then the last person tells what they thought they heard. And in nearly every case, or I would say, without exaggeration, in every case that I remember, it was almost totally different than what was originally said. Why is this? Because, as Brother Nee says, we add our own words, we add our own thought to what we hear. And this is how rumors are spread. And this is a terrible thing, especially in the church life. This kind of speaking really spreads death. You know, there's an example of this in the scripture in John 21, where the Lord is speaking to Peter. Peter turns to look at the disciple John. And Peter says, Lord, what about this man? This is verse 21. Then verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the Lord was saying, if I would keep him so that he would not die, and he would see my coming back, what is that to you? You follow me. And the Lord had just told Peter that he would be martyred for the Lord's sake. Then verse 23 continues, this word therefore went out among the brothers that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? So the Lord didn't tell Peter that John would never die. The Lord was just telling Peter, what is that to you if I would keep him alive? So you see, even among the disciples in the scripture, we see there was the adding of words. Brothers and sisters, anyone that wants to be useful in the hand of the Lord must be accurate in their speaking. If we have this kind of sin on our conscience, we have to confess. Confess every instance that the Lord enlightens us about or that we remember to remove this sin from our conscience so that we can have the flow of life and enjoy the Lord. Another category is exaggerations. About this, Brother Nee writes, there is another type of lie which is very prevalent in the church, exaggeration. Please bear in mind that inaccurate numbers and inaccurate words, as well as the love of big words, strong words, or exaggerated words, are different forms of lies because there is falsehood in them. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is too easy, even too common, to have exaggerated speaking. But we have to realize these are forms of lies, and we have to confess them as sin so that they would not be on our conscience, so that we can exercise our spirit and enjoy the Lord. Remember, brothers and sisters, what we're talking about is using our spirit to contact the Lord. But no one with a bad conscience can really exercise their spirit. So we need a breakthrough in this area. One other category is the matter of contentious words. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says that a slave of the Lord should not be contentious. What is this? That is argumentative. It's, again, very easy, very common for us to be argumentative, even at home with our parents, among siblings. It's so easy to lash out. This also is sin. We can't have that kind of behavior, that kind of speaking, and then we go to the meeting and we try to sing and expect that we will enjoy the Lord. We need to deal with all these things as sin by recognizing them in the light of the Lord, confessing them before the Lord, being washed by the blood. That way, fellowship can be restored and we can enjoy the Lord. Many of these types of speaking can be considered idle words. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 12:36 talks about idle words. He says, and I say to you that every idle word which men shall speak, they will render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. Every idle word. The footnote on this word idle says that the Greek word means not working. An idle word is a non-working word, an inoperative word, a word that has no positive function and is useless, unprofitable, unfruitful, and barren. Those who have spoken such words will render an account concerning every one of them in the day of judgment. Since this is the case, how much more must we account for every wicked word? Concerning this matter of the idle words, Brother Nee writes again in this chapter, this does not mean that we can speak anything as long as it is true and factual. Sometimes it is not a matter of whether or not something is a fact. Something may be a fact, a definite fact, yet it should not be a fruit of our mouth. It may be true, but we should not utter it. This is not a matter of truth, but a matter of idle words. The word may be true, but it is an idle word. I have just said that our speaking must be according to facts. However, not all facts need to be spoken. We cannot and we need not speak idle words. The Lord said, I say to you that every idle word which men shall speak, they'll render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. Idle words from a Christian's mouth will not be spoken once, but twice. And this is the key point here, brothers and sisters. Idle words from a Christian's mouth will not be spoken once, but twice. Whatever is spoken carelessly today will be repeated again in the future. It will be repeated in full, sentence by sentence. When it is repeated the second time, it will be justified or condemned based on it. We will have to render an account on the day of judgment for every idle word we have spoken. I hope that God's children will learn to fear Him. We should learn to reject every inaccurate word and to speak accurately. We should never speak about things that do not concern us, and we should not say anything that reaps no benefit to others or to ourselves. Oh, brothers and sisters, this matter of our speaking is a serious thing for which we will have to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ at His return. It would be much better if we would go to the Lord today and deal with Him today in His light and have the blood cleanse us of all these sins, of all the sins related to our speaking. Oh, I hope, brothers and sisters, you would take these words to the Lord. Just go before Him and bring all of these categories to the Lord. Lord, is there any lie unconfessed? I just bring this to you. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord shine on you and remind you, and then confess one by one. Lord, have I had a double tongue? Have I spoken in one way in front of someone and another way behind their back? If something comes to mind, confess it and enjoy the cleansing of the blood. Have I exaggerated? Have I added words? Have I been contentious? Have I had any filthy, coarse jesting, as the Bible says, which is the dirty jokes, any cursing, any gossip, any criticism? Just come before the Lord. This is not for self-analysis. This is to come to the Lord, to allow Him to shine on us so that we can be delivered of all these sins, that the Lord's blood would cleanse us, He would wash us so that our fellowship with Him could be restored, could be deepened, so that we could have the flow of life. Brothers and sisters, if you touch this kind of forgiveness, specific forgiveness, if you touch this kind of cleansing of the blood in a specific way, I tell you, your spirit will be released and you will have the enjoyment of the Lord. Furthermore, in your daily life, you will have a stronger and more sensitive spirit as you're walking with the Lord, even before the words come out of our mouth. The Lord will rise up within us and will have the grace to walk with Him and follow Him. So may the Lord lead you in this exercise and in this practice into a further and deeper enjoyment of the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, I think that's enough for today. I hope you would go to the Lord, practice what we are fellowshipping here. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love You. Make Your home in our hearts a little bit more today. And Lord, strengthen us that we would take heed to our spirit. For AgeTurners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.